Margot Becker is en route. Kenneth Gilligan is here.
Individuals in our legislature in New York City.
Who is that? Why are we hearing it? Timothy DeGraff.
Here.
Charlie Whitaker is not here. Larry Rickey is not here. Angelina Brandt.
Here.
Melinda France is in the building. Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Okay, here we go.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Take it over, Chairwoman.
Do we have any public comments? Okay. The chair does not have any comments at this time. Approval of the minutes, the July 28th, 2022 regular board meeting. I reviewed them, they look fine to me.
I do too. I'll move to accept them as read.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes 3-0, 2 abstentions.
And there was minutes of the August
move
special board meeting.
Move to approve.
Okay. Board.
Second.
Passes 3-0.
Okay, our next board meeting is scheduled for September 22nd at 4 p.m. And the other thing we have to schedule is a public hearing regarding the draft budget for 2023. So we're scheduling that for October 13th at 4 p.m.
Is that a Thursday or Wednesday?
Yeah, it's two weeks before our regular scheduled board meeting.
That's a Thursday.
Do we have to move
Nobody ever shows up, so
No, but we have to schedule it and make it public.
Okay, right.
We have to notify the towns.
Right, but you don't need a motion or
the
anything.
Towns might be interested because we're going to be changing some of the fees.
Right. Yeah, we may get some people with this one.
That's okay. Okay, the general reports, the recycling outreach team. It was suggested we could read the beautiful things you always give us, Angie. Unless you want to say something special. How are we doing on the grant project?
The project's ongoing.
So do we get buy-in from some of the towns? Or are they willing to transport the food waste?
I'm actively coordinating with several of the towns, so I'm sure I'll have a better update for you by the next meeting of that.
Yeah, that was my major concern, is if we can get them to play the game the way we want, it would make it good. If we have to figure out another way to move the waste, then we have to figure out another way.
But Double Trouble has just entered the building, Charlie Whitaker and Larry Rickey, for the record.
Yes. Well, we just adjourned the meeting, didn't we?
Second.
Okay. Let's see. The MSW tonnage report.
That's the yellow one.
The yellow one. Oh, thank you. I never know what's the last. Okay. Anything we need to know on this?
Yeah. We're still up over budget 12.5%.
Oh.
And again, is that because of closures around us or what? That's a lot. And I'm not complaining, obviously. I'm just curious.
It's staying consistent. It's not the same as June was. June was directly related to burn plant closures. It dropped off a little, but we're back up in August again, and there haven't been the same closures, so I do not know why.
It's really hard to predict volume.
Yep.
You know, it really is.
Okay.
Well,
anyway.
So, are we ready for the
recycling
tonnage report?
One of the things I wanted to point out is last month, I just had a brain fart. I had mentioned about I was confused with ice storm when it happened, and I realized I was looking at the wrong column, but I realized it after the meeting. So there was nothing wrong with last month's report. I did notice the OCC. If you look at last year's 2021, and to a little bit lesser extent 2020, 2021 we averaged 213 tons OCC a month. This year we're averaging 180, and that actually is much more closer to pre-COVID numbers. 2019, we averaged 173 a month. So I'm assuming people being home, maybe more cardboard.
And stuff.
Right. So it's just an assumption on my part. But I wanted to point it out just because it ties in with pre-COVID.
I got wonderful cardboard from my neighbors for my garden during COVID.
I did want to point out, too, because it was a part of last month's discussion, we did receive our permits because we had talked about the food waste number. Modification for the food waste was received, so that's up to 5,000 tons, so we are good with these numbers now. And then we also got our renewals for New Paltz as well, so we're good for another 5 years at New Paltz as well. That's good news.
At the time, I just want to say, Jim, we talked about that at the last meeting. We were talking about we might have to cut up the food waste, right. And we talked about modifications, and I said I'm optimistic. We did get that. Funny, right? So if you look at August now, we have to stop the food waste.
Yeah, we would have been having the same discussion that we said we'd have with
the
Jim.
Timing was wonderful. So we got that modification along with the 6 o'clock in the morning modification, and we're working on the weekly modification.
Yep, but we're good to go. Yep.
Okay. Recycling tonnage.
Oh, I did that one already. I moved right into it.
Okay, sorry. And what do we have next? The treasurer's report.
Yep. Month of July, our MSW tons were, you see it's consistent with the last 2 months since we changed over, calling out all the loads now. 11,469 ton MSW, 2,183 of C&D. No revenue items of note. Total revenues for the month was $1,814,161. Down on the expense side, MRF operations, $20,083, and that was, we stocked up on baling wire so that we had it, because there was a time a year ago or so to where, you know, it was supply chains all over the place, so we had an opportunity, so we purchased it, so it's just stock. Vehicle maintenance facility, $24,533, that relates to New Paltz transfer station drain repairs. That was DEC compliance stuff we had to get done. So we cleaned up the drains, and that was $14,930. And our HHW, that's actually the June's HHW, but we didn't have the invoice in time for me to book it, so I booked it in July, $43,686 for that event. Total operating expenses for the month, $1,572,434. Gave us a net operating revenue and a fund balance for the month of a positive $241,727. So our year-to-date is only a deficit of $605,489 now.
So is the $43,000, is that a lot? I mean, did we get a lot of household hazardous waste, and how does that compare to other...
Yeah, it's volume related. Yep.
And volume, because I see it's a couple of months ago, May, it's 29,000.
Mm-hmm.
So is this because it's summer and people brought it in, or just because people are getting more aware of the program and more people are using it?
My opinion, and if you want to correct me on that, Angie, usually a good number is around 35,000. So it looks like we had one that was a little low and then one that was a little high.
The event in April had a significant amount of no-shows and cancellations. Okay. So there were only about 200 attendees for that event, where our event last year had significantly more than that. So, yeah, it depends on the number of participants coming and the stock of what they bring in, right? Because someone might come to the event and only have one fluorescent light bulb. Right. The next car behind them might have a basement's worth of 20 years of stuff, right? So it really depends on how many people are coming, but also who's bringing what.
And are we fully subscribed to these events? Or is it being fully people signing up, even if they don't show up, is like beforehand, or people... filling the slots, or is there still room to grow?
At our last event, we have 300 available appointment slots, and we scheduled 295.
Okay, good.
So
good.
They are filling up, but you do have people that cancel or just don't show up. How many people actually showed up out of that?
About 200 maybe show up out of the 295, or what?
At our last event, we had... Thank you for your question.
Mm-hmm.
We had 295 scheduled appointments as of the close of business on Friday. We had 27 residents that canceled ahead of time, 10 canceled after the close of the business day on Friday, and then 7 no-showed. So a total of 251 residents that
were that's pretty good.
Served in that event.
Great. Okay.
You know, one thing I'd like to point out, and I just thought about this, Jim, is when we used to do 3 events, you know, we scheduled them from 8 to 2, and we found out that people were complaining, long lines, because everybody, no matter what the time was, all your 1 and 2 o'clock people were getting there before 12, and you had these long lines. And what I just thought about it, Angie, it's like, now that we're doing 4 events, you know, we don't do anything past 2 as far as 12 as far as customers, it seems like the lines are more managed because it's like people are coming, you know, later. Everybody's not trying to crowd into you know, the three events, with the four events, two down here and two up here, it seems like it's managed better as far as traffic.
I think the adjustments we made are working really well, and it is bumper to bumper. You know, people come in through consistently. But see, people
not
always
like before.
Come
remember
early
how we used to have to line them up?
Not come at all.
Remember we used to have like four lines right here, stacked side by side. So I think it's and I just thought about that. I think it's actually with the four events. I think it's actually managed much more. People aren't complaining, you know, because you have people, Jim, that would complain. My appointment was 11 o'clock. Why am I waiting 20 minutes? You know, and it's like, well, because everybody came before you. We can't stop the 10:30. I mean, the 1 o'clock people, and tell them to get to the back of the line. Your appointment's 1 o'clock. We just take them as they come. So I think, you know, no complaints. The lines aren't as big. They are bumper to bumper, but I think it's managed. I think the four really works well. So that was actually a good plan.
Good.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve? So
moved.
All right. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. MERS cost center analysis.
For the month of July, total seller recyclables were $70,898. Actually, pretty close to the prior month. Plastic was a little higher. OCC was down a little bit. Total transport and disposal costs were $7,502. Net revenue for the month was $63,396. Down on the expense side, total personnel and operating expenses were $66,679. So we just had a net loss of $3,283. So year to date, we are at a net income of $24,538.
Better than past years.
Let's see, so we move to the resolutions, I guess. Let's see, 2571, authorization of the GRIAF 2023 agency budget.
Which is the one that Tom had the questions about? Do you remember, Sam?
That's the one he had a question about, right?
The main one, but the capital plan ends up tying into it. But I don't have any more detail from him on the request.
Wait for him to show up?
Yeah, I don't.
I think we should probably just wait. We have a few minutes. I'm gonna text him and see how, you know, what his schedule is. Kind of we're waiting on him. Maybe he can call in if he's like stuck somewhere.
Can we do the other ones or not?
No, they all tie in together.
Tie in.
Okay. So
you change one, you change them all.
Okay, got it. That person from the UK who wrote an email, can we discuss that?
No, you shouldn't discuss candidates.
Any old business or new business?
I think anything. I think. Are we due for an executive session? No, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah,
we are.
We are.
Could you guys vote both of the resolutions here?
No, we can't because Tom had a question about one and he's not here.
All right, well, I texted him, so hopefully, he said it'd be here about 4:15. So hopefully.
He's only 3 minutes later. You see him driving in.
So what kind of traffic was there on 209?
It was something with... I didn't get close enough. I turned around. It was... I don't know what it was.
An accident maybe or something?
Yeah,
fair. Fair or something. Touch
I don't think right. It was the fair, though. I don't know. It looked
and
like...
And
there
was some construction on the bridge.
No, it wasn't the bridge. It was up near... It was up near... Stone Ridge, maybe a tree down. I don't know what it was. It was just really
unexpected.
Yeah, it was not.
Well, Dutchess County is very busy. I was over near there yesterday. Plenty of traffic. And I thought there was some easy way to get from Red Hook to the bridge. And the only way I know is not the easy way.
There were trucks.
Was that changed?
Which way did you choose?
It was. This is the
new one.
Down 9.
Like a down tree.
Whatever the
patch
to their resolution is.
Back to the bridge.
Maybe they've been true.
But it seems like there ought to be something that goes straight west.
Yeah. Yeah, if you go the other way, you get up to the traffic light in the village, and then you cut back, and that traffic light takes forever.
Anyway, sorry, good debate, everybody.
The question was, this is the capital plan.
There ought to be some other way, but I don't know what it is. But I did know, the price of gasoline at the mobile station, right there in the center of the village, was $3.37.
Right, that's Tom's new one.
I bet that was probably because they bumped their leaving on mid-range and premiums high.
Yep, anyway. Since my tank was full, I didn't really.
When you guys go into executive session, what are the chances you're going to come out and take action?
0.0.
That's pretty definitive.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like summer's winding down, huh?
91 degrees still, I don't know about that.
It's winding down.
Boy, what a dry summer it was, too.
I'm just grateful to have my wonderful new heat pumps.
Do they work good, Kathy?
Oh, man, it just cranks out cold.
Really?
It's wonderful, yeah.
Wow.
And if I run it in the daytime, it's free because I have solar on the garage roof. So that's sort of nice, too. Of course, it hasn't solved the $800 bill I got from Central Hudson.
Don't pay it. Nobody is.
I guess I need to.
Is that true, Ken?
Well, they started saying in October they're going to start charging late fees or something. So
they can't turn you off. So
what did they charge $800 for?
I don't know. I just looked at the bill and said.
When you know what it was, they changed companies that were doing
the
billing.
Doing billing, right?
I used to get my taken out, and I never got it taken out for 3 months. I didn't even realize it. And then when they started giving everybody bills like 6 months ago, I got 9 different bills for the same account, all with different numbers, on the same day.
Oh, God.
9 envelopes.
Well, what period of time was that? Because they said that they had kind of.
This is when it first started, like 6-7 months ago. And I called, and whoever I got said they didn't know how to handle it.
They didn't.
Ken, I went 3 months without a bill, and then I get a bill for like 1,026, then 1,046, and then another 100, and then another 500. So it's like. I ended up paying like $4,000 altogether.
And now they, Town of Saugerties had some company that was Columbia something where they were billing you through. They went out of business, and now everything's going to be redone again.
There's about a dozen towns that were in that deal.
So what happens, I ignored it, and I automatically went into it. So what happens now that the company went bankrupt?
You're going to get different bills from Central Hudson.
Are there any comments from the public? Any comments from the public?
Yeah.
We're at a standstill. We're waiting for Tom Candace to show up and deal with the budget.
Did you go with it, Bill? Because I know you're up in the fight.
No, I actually opted out.
Yeah, I did.
But don't you have to? You have to respond or go to a meeting, right?
You had to go, and I went online and I opted out.
I couldn't. I just turned around, so I couldn't get to see what it was. I kept trying to figure out an alternative route.
But now it don't matter if I didn't opt out because it's going to go back anyway.
Right. That's right.
So
you should have got a letter.
I didn't get nothing yet.
I got one yesterday.
Maybe it's in the mailbox today.
Saugerty, you and Saugerty's camp?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So.
Oh, she can make two announcements.
I didn't know you guys had. Saugerty's hadn't gotten it yet because other communities got it about 3-4 weeks ago.
I didn't get it yet.
I got it from Central Hudson yesterday.
Yeah.
I got it from Central Hudson like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We're no longer enrolled in this program. You're back to Central Hudson as your supplier.
The company was decertified by the state.
Okay.
Wow. And now Central Hudson raised their rates again, right?
Hello.
Really rising.
Who knows?
It's official that they have selected. We have selected.
I believe they already have a contract.
Hudson Valley Sustainable.
Yeah. Okay. The Sustainable Hudson Valley.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Jim, did you hear from Tom?
Along with.
No, wait.
Wait, you guys, listen. There's a conversation going that has to do with this.
Yes, it's an announcement.
You know, maybe we should wait and let them make the announcement.
Well, since we know about it, we might as well at least announce it here. Anyway.
Well, but, as far as I know, it's complete. And also, the zero waste implementation plan has brought on Mike Ewell from Energy Justice to put all the pieces together so that there's a complete document that we can present to the board of the RRA and to the Recycling Oversight Committee. So those are both, as far as I know, complete.
What was the other announcement?
The other one was the reuse center, the contract for working on that, classifying waste and designing the reuse center and trying to figure out if there's a location where it could be.
Has to get into Sustainable
Hudson. Sustainable Hudson Valley, and Hudson Valley Sustainable, whichever way it goes, I'm sure.
And the their subcontractor is Dave Benning, who you know of.
Uh-huh.
Who Dave Benning designs reuse innovation centers, and everybody here I think knows who John Wackman was, and we're going to be when the center, the feasibility study is done and the center is built, wherever that ends up being, it's going to be named after him. And right before he passed away, literally the day before he passed away, he sent us his vision in, it turns out to be two pages, in very clear paragraphs, and the last paragraph was about reuse innovation centers. His focus was a lot on Repair Cafe, but the reuse innovation center photograph that he used in that description was the work of Dave Benning. So there's some real talent now coming in to help with supplement the work that the agency is doing.
Now, didn't the city of Kingston just donate some property to the Freeman Belt on the Grand Slam? So they it was $118,000 in taxes, and they're going to forgive the taxes, and you got these group of folks that are opening up a reuse center right there on Grand Street. So did you see that in the paper?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, okay. So there you go. So it was in the Freeman Belt.
Yeah, I didn't write
it. He doesn't read the Freeman.
Yeah, so so the city of Kingston forgave $118,000 in back taxes to allow these folks to move into that building.
I think it was a reuse center.
And they're going to take over the building, and it's going to be a reuse center.
So where is this building?
It's on Grand Street in Kingston.
It's the old Grand Slam Tavern. You should know that.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie
Ray.
He sold it for a dollar, didn't he? They used to sponsor a lot of softball teams back in the day.
But they forgave $118,000 in taxes for it also.
Huh?
First thing, they're going to reuse the softballs.
Right.
Yep. So the city of Kingston's going to have one.
I haven't heard back from Tom.
The only place down there I used to go for a beer after,
you didn't know that, man?
After over 30 league basketball,
I missed that.
The Shamrock.
Beyond the Four Walls.
You want to try him on your phone?
Yes.
That's who's moving in there.
Okay.
Well, what was the question he actually asked?
Where's Tom? That's the question.
No. Where he was asking about.
Tom is getting back to us.
Okay.
From what I could gather, is he was looking for, I think, to increase the budget to cover capital costs, I'm assuming, but he told me he was vague on purpose and he wanted to discuss it in public forum, so I don't have any other information.
Is that that 485 you're talking about? That's
yeah. So I just adjusted it.
I'm
going to
call him and then find out. And then if he doesn't answer, then we'll just have to move on.
Okay.
How are you?
Yeah. I don't know if I actually have that.
Oh, this is a load that we so it came in at like 4.71 tons, and we pushed it on the side and we diverted all the cardboard from the garbage. So we I think it. I think we sent like one and three quarter tons to the landfill, and we took out 2.50 cardboard.
Awesome.
So that was in the trash building. So I was just showing you that.
Cool.
Did you want to see this thing or no?
Yeah.
That's a lot of cardboard there.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Is it more of the I wish they'd be quiet long or
This is what comes in on the coal mangle. So we just emptied this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we put that in the scrap pile.
Shut up long or why are you going to need this long?
I love good pictures of garbage. That's all I can say.
So, this is what we, so if you look at this.
He's going to try and call on the agency phone. He's just getting off the
22, right?
So
this is year to date right here. So this is how much
we
can
wait. When he calls him, we can wait.
Out of the garbage.
Oh, we can tell him we can wait, but.
Yeah.
One,
wow.
You know,
160
tons.
This year.
This year. Now, what did we do last year?
No, I wonder if 209 is still
gone. 47.87 tons. So figure 35 tons of trail.
Yeah, no, Matt made it through.
So if you look at the diverted rubble, this is all organics, 85 tons this year. And we didn't do any last year. We did diverted melons, we did diverted dirt. And if you look at the OCC, this is our garbage building, year to date. 56 tons. This year we did 114 tons.
So it's like the army sit around.
I mean, the question is always, how much more is there in there to pull out?
So
safely,
that's one of the things a long time ago that I wanted to talk about.
They gave us a topographic map. Never give a geologist
a topographic map. Hi, is this Tom?
Hello.
Hi, Tom. You've reached the boardroom.
And
excellent.
Divert
okay.
A lot of these vehicles, you know,
hear ye,
push
hear ye.
Come to order, please.
That would be great.
We have everybody here now. Tom is here. So maybe Tom and Tim could discuss this business about the budget that Tom was concerned about.
Thanks. Tom, we were just about to discuss Resolution 2571. Authorization of draft 2023 agency budget, and I received your email. I did make the requested changes, so I have a tipping fee increase of $7 a ton up to $112 a ton, and I offset that with an increase to our capital plan, which that'll be the next resolution, of $485,000 for I just put in, you know, general site operational improvements, but I thought maybe you could speak a little more to that for me.
Yeah, so in essence, what I'm suggesting is that we create some space in the budget for possibly more extensive improvements to sites or even additional sites, change of leases, a variety of possible purchases, but make budget allowance for the board's intention to improve operations in the coming year.
So classifying that as part of the capital plan is appropriate?
No, I think that probably works for the more expensive items, and we seem to have enough cash on hand for other items. So I think that works.
Okay.
I don't understand anything.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm not sure what it is you're talking about here, gentlemen.
You guys saw the email, right?
Right.
That's all. That's the only real information I have.
Well,
So in essence, we're expecting to hire an executive director at some point. And what I'm reacting to is that if the budget precedes the executive director, then especially given that we've seen price increases eat up budget margin this past year, that we make a little extra effort in the budget to allow some margin for potential expenditures. I don't think there's a huge penalty to either adding to reserves, given the inflationary environment, or revising the budget to a lower amount later if necessary. You know, we don't have to spend money just because it's budgeted, but if we're going to pass a budget now, then let's acknowledge the environment and acknowledge that we're going to be asking a new executive director at some point to come on, give us ideas, and those ideas are likely to involve some capital expenditures and operational expansions.
So what you're looking for is more, you want more operating reserve in this budget? Is that what we're talking about? Because none of us sitting here really understands exactly, you know, I had the email in front of me and I didn't understand it very well then, and I understand it less now, frankly.
I'm inclined to agree with Jim and Kathy and Margot. I think this whole thing is a little bit on the vague side, and as a matter of fact, Tom, in one of your emails, you say you're sorry for being so vague with this. And I'm a little bit concerned about it. I would make a motion to postpone the resolutions to the next meeting because there's $485,000 that can't be explained in detail.
Well, as I hear this now I actually have a second question, because if we're looking to increase our reserves, that also means that in addition to the changes I already made, I have to pull the operating reserve transfer in of $500,000 as well, which means we have to fund that in another way, which is another $3 per ton increase, which would put us up to $115 a ton.
Yeah.
So that's a $10 per ton increase.
Then we're gonna have some people here at the public.
Do we have to pass the budget today? Is there
No, the requirement that I have is I do have to notify the towns of what our proposed tipping fee is as a part of our agreements, because they have to start doing their budgets as well. So if you guys were going to postpone, I would just recommend a special meeting 2 weeks from now as opposed to waiting until the next board
meeting.
Very good. If you want to discuss further.
At that time, we'll have more detail on what we're voting on. This is extremely vague. I made the motion.
Okay.
If we have a second. Yep, there's a motion.
What's that?
What was the motion?
The motion is before
Charlie, let me clarify. So would we then hold all these in abeyance for 2 weeks?
Yes, yeah, they all tie in together, correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I think the sense of the board is we need to wait because we need more information.
Thank
on
you.
What is being proposed here?
And so were you seconding the motion?
I will second the motion.
Okay.
Okay, so you have the vote.
So
call the vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Tom?
Aye.
Five.
Okay.
So we're going to meet in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would probably call it a budget workshop then, if that's the case. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That'd be helpful. Appreciate that.
Yeah, because I...
So can you give me a date for 2 weeks? What is 2 weeks from today?
2 weeks is September 8th.
Okay. And that's another Thursday?
Yes.
Okay.
4 o'clock, I would assume. Yep. Probably works for everybody.
All righty. Tom, are you still en route?
Yep, I'm on the driveway.
Okay.
Probably coming and getting a paved out there.
September, right, Charlie?
Yeah, I didn't talk to Frank. I did talk to him about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. He said September. He did do a pass by to look at the condition of the road, and he said he was going to come back and take a look at that. So.
Oh, you mean paving it?
Yeah.
Who's doing it?
Frank Petrino, town of Ulster. Right now I know he's, I told him to wait until the end of this week before he does the landfills, because he mows the landfills for us.
Okay.
So he's going to be starting
out. That's long overdue, isn't it?
What's that, landfills?
No, the pothole out there.
Well, we got those big drains helped a lot. So yeah, but we're going to get it done, and we're going to make it a little bit wider over here.
The drains will keep it from happening further. Because the water would cool, right, wintertime around here.
Mm-hmm. They do that on the 3rd and 14th hole. Well, no matter what you do, water sits there in certain spots.
Okay, we don't have anything else on the agenda.
Yeah, I don't have any
the executive
business.
Well, then, I guess we're going into executive session.
Right.
Yeah, make a motion to go into executive session to discuss employee history.
All in favor?
Aye.
Of a particular person?
Several.
More than one.
Particular people.
Particular.
Okay. And you expect no action?
No, absolutely no.
Welcome.
Hold on for what your cat skill once said.
Hank, we're heading into executive session.
They came out and voted to dissolve the rescue squad.
You guys did an executive session vote?
Well, I see cynical effort about that. That's why.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. See you.
That's off.
Yeah, I move to exit executive session.
The grinder, can I touch on that real quick?
All in favor?
All in favor.
Pushing along, aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion approved.
Thank you.
Sorry. I gotta go say goodbye to somebody.
So we're back in regular session. I just think this is important for Charlie to jump because this is a major expenditure we're gonna have to make. You'll end up seeing on the budget, but I want everybody to know now about it. We have a major repair on the grinder that has to be done. It's gonna be a significant amount of money. It needs to be done. It's certainly a lot cheaper than buying a new grinder. And we'll touch on that in the capital plan in a couple weeks. But
how much is it?
Charlie's going to speak to that, but you guys need to be aware because it's an unbudgeted, you know what I mean, expense.
So we have a grinder that has several hydraulic pumps and things like the clutch, which is like a $20,000 item alone. We had a mechanical failure. Our grinder's 20 years old. We had a mechanical failure. A couple of pins broke. There was no way. The inside of the engine was pristine, so it had nothing to do with services or the maintenance on the machine. We found that out as soon as we opened it up on the condition of the inside of the engine. But this was just a simple pin that gave way, and as you're running it, it was catastrophic. So we're looking at it's a C16, 630 horse. Caterpillar engine, and I am right here holding $40,000 worth of parts, and these are just a couple of parts, so a couple of hoses and a couple of pumps that I decided with Tim to purchase outside of Caterpillar from Peterson to save us that 15% markup on it, and we don't pay taxes, of course, but the overall cost of this, and it's just at this point, because the engine was so devastated, we can't get a core charge on that engine, which is about $30,000. So just imagine $30,000 right off the top that we can't turn in and get a core charge on. So a core charge is basically when you, right, your starter, you bring it there, they charge you $15 more than you bring your old starter, they give you the $15 back. We will not enjoy that from this engine because it just blew a hole right in the side of the engine. So that's $30,000. You're looking at probably, my best guess is about $140,000 to repair this grinder. It's about $700,000 to $800,000 to buy a new one. This grinder is very necessary for our compost that we just got the modification to do. We'll do 5,000 tons this year of compost, and I think the consensus of the board is that we want to continue to compost here at this agency, right? I believe, right? So now we have this in front of us. It's a 20-year-old grinder. We kept it in phenomenal shape. We only do grinding for the towns and ourselves, so it's not like we're out there with contractors and stuff and are doing it to save them money or something. This is all enjoyed inside of our towns and this agency. So I wanted to make sure you folks were not surprised at that kind of cost. When Tim has given us treasurer's report, and we have that little number, it says number 4, grinder repair, $140,000. You guys would have been, what the hell is this? So,
and you'll see when we go over the capital plan, you'll see a column, because our capital plan is 5 years, it's 2023 through 2027, but we also have a column for comparative purposes in the year that we're in right now. So you'll see budgeted 2022, and then I have an actual column, and you'll see like the grinder repair, and we discussed roll-off containers this year because we are going to be sitting on a little bit of a surplus. You'll see that those numbers weren't budgeted for. So we will have to end up doing resolutions for those. Usually if it's on the capital plan, you guys have already approved it. We don't do a resolution for the purchase necessarily, but these will need to, so that way you guys are aware of what's going on ahead of time. Stuff breaks. It happens.
Yeah, how much does a new one cost, Charlie?
$700,000.
Aren't we planning in 2025 to get one?
We had actually had a couple of months ago, we had discussed about, when we get around to the capital plan, we got to discuss, you know, a new grinder at some point in the next 5 years. So we'd had the discussion, and lo and behold, in the next couple of weeks, you're never going to believe what happened to the grinder.
So really, this was a wrist pin and a snap pin, right, Larry, that just fell. And there's, you know, the machine runs loud. There is no way anybody could actually stop the machine and say, hey, I think something broke inside of there. It's just impossible. You run the machine. It was running great at the time. It chugged a little bit on us. We changed the fuel filter. It ran flawlessly for about 45 minutes. And then it blew the breather off. And it blew a hole in the side of the engine. It was a small failure on these pins.
So we looked at the motor. There was certainly it wasn't due to lack of maintenance
it's
or
pristine.
Operator
right.
error. The motor was a beautiful.
But is it worth? Can we do it in a timely fashion? Where instead of spending $100,000 to buy it, put $100,000 on a down payment for a new one. Can that happen? You know, because this is if we're going to have to buy a new one in 5 years anyway. Is it worth spending, you know, upwards of $100,000 to fix this? And I'm not against it. I'm not saying I don't want to do it, but I'm just wondering, is it wiser to just buy a new one now and forestall the repairs, or is it going to be something that will take 2025 to get delivered anyway?
Based on the electric components, the computers in this machine, the conveyors, you know, based on everything that this machine is, the machine's meant. So the question is, right, do you want to have the machine back at $140,000 or spend $800,000? We were going to buy another one to have a backup, Jim, because in this business, you should have two of everything in case one goes down.
And that's the way we've been doing everything else over the last 10, 12 years.
Because, you know, buying that second one, just because now we're going to be putting this brand new engine, this CAT engine, the C16, 630 horse CAT, in there just to get us back and going again. So if you're asking me what I would spend $140,000 to have basically a brand new machine back here. I mean, is it still 20 years old? Yeah, but we kept the machine. If I showed it to you,
so you think it's so it's not gonna
100%.
So all right, so if we put this 100,000 in, you think we're gonna get another 10 years or so out of it?
We got 20 on it right now.
Right.
So the answer is yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that seems worthwhile. I just don't want to, you know, throw good money after bad. Have this thing break down. Yeah. You know, cars after a while.
Yeah.
Your car
after
breaks 200,000, throw money in. And, you know, then it's, forget it, go get a new one. So, but you're telling me that this will give us, this repair of some hundred and something thousand dollars will buy us time at the other end.
Yeah, because we were. You need this grinder now
Right? I need this grinder now, right? So do we have a lot of wood to grind? Are we just, do we still have some commitments with towns that we have to forestall?
Right.
Matter of fact, my phone rang, it was Ed from City of Kingston. Yeah, so do I need it ASAP? I do. Am I rushing this along to spend $140,000 for that? No, I'm not. If I were to buy a brand new grinder and we said, hey, let's not put this $140,000, even though I would advise against that, it would still take you about 2 years.
Yeah,
ago,
who
right?
knows?
Yeah, you know,
so how long do you think you can get it in, take to get
so
it?
So I got to order these parts from, I didn't know, just $40,000 worth of parts. And listen, I wouldn't be doing my due diligence if I didn't come to you folks
first.
Oh,
yeah, no, we appreciate that. But,
so
what do you think? Best case scenario?
So best case
scenario,
I think I'm going to have these parts in 2 weeks. They said they're going to have the long block in a couple of weeks, right, Larry?
Yeah.
So I would say within a month, I'll have my machine up and running again.
Okay.
So, but I wanted the full support and understanding on the board.
Is there one you can rent in the meantime?
I don't have to.
You don't have to?
We can wait.
Okay.
And we will wait because we don't need to add more dollars to this.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
And plus, I mean, it seems like you've kept up, so, you know, you'll have a backlog maybe, but it's not going to be it.
If this was 3 months out, I'd say, yeah, let me rent one, and we would run it ourselves. Not pay.
Are they available to rent?
I'm sure, yeah. I know a lot of people and stuff, and I could get something in here. I have no question about that. If I were to hire somebody to do grinding, it's $7,000 a day, and you still pay for the whatever cost, where, and you also pay for the fuel.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make sense for us to spend $21,000 to go grind a town for free.
Right, yeah. No, I think... This seems like the wisest course, but then I think we would hold off buying a new one.
100%.
When we were originally talking, you're trying to see if you can fit it in with, you know, on the 2023 budget. So when this happened and him and I were talking, I was like, well, if we rebuild this machine in a month, then we can push that out.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So long-term planning, it's actually better for us. You know, when this crap happens, right, stuff breaks down, if you could turn it somehow into a positive, you know, that's the best of both worlds.
So we don't need a resolution.
No, he's just letting you know. That's operating costs.
I don't know about the resolution.
Yeah, I mean, I would feel more comfortable with a resolution because it's a major purchase that is really a capital outlay, and it wasn't on our, it wasn't budgeted for, it wasn't planned for, and we approve our capital budgets.
Well, so you don't have a resolution prepared, right?
No, we don't have one prepared.
Does he want us to give you like an informal approval now and 2 weeks we'll make it official?
I think that will work. Yeah. Everything's transparent. It'll be in the minutes and everything. So.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
So we'll put a number of $140,000 on it, Jim, and if it's a little bit more net, we're all guessing on what it's going to cost.
Well, you'll know for by September, the next meeting.
I'm going to know within, I'll know by then. The other thing I want to let you folks know while we're here.
Well, let them wrap up the
grinder. The roll off. I just want them in
14,000. Just let them wrap up the grinder.
All right. So in 2 weeks, we'll make it official.
Yep.
Come back with a resolution. But the sense I'm getting from the board is that everybody's like,
Okay. Great. Thanks.
So the roll off. I don't know if you folks remember about when you first came onto the board, we passed a resolution for a roll off truck that was in our capital plan.
Yep.
And roughly it was about $230,000. So that was canceled because they just couldn't get it. There was like about 150 orders for roll-up trucks and tractors, and they just couldn't, Mac couldn't fulfill it, Peterbilt couldn't fulfill it, they just couldn't do it. So they canceled the lot. And I said to Greg, when he called me, I said, listen, Greg, I'm not canceling my resolution and going back to the board and then possibly waiting another 2 years for my roll-up. I need this for the towns because we have still a lot. We only have three brand new roll-offs. This would be my fourth one. And we have about four roll-offs that are about 20 years old, 15 years old. So I need this for the towns. So he said, well, let me get a definite number. And I waited. It's been about 2 months. He finally got back to me last week. And the number was, I said, is it going to be about 10 grand? And he said, yes. And I said, okay. Came back at 14,000. Now, this was not a state bid thing. Like Caterpillar went up about 50,000 on this loader that we ordered, but because it was state bid, they couldn't raise it. These Macs, these roll-offs, are piggybacked. So that means Onondaga went out to bid a long time ago, and this is what the number came in at on the bid, and that's what we're piggybacking off of. So now that bid, right, went up because everything, because of COVID and everything else, went up. So it's not the same as state bid where Caterpillar held that number. They're not going to do that at Mac because it was a bid price, not a state,
contract price.
Yes, correct. So it went up 14,000. So I wanted you folks to know, we're up 14,000 on that. So
how much was the original?
It was something like 230. It's up to like 200.
Really, we had it at 185 and it went to 247.
Was it 185?
So we're gonna have to double check those numbers then.
I have to double check it because I thought it went up like 14,000. It's up to like 247 right now for that, but it's
247. I can tell you was the number that they gave us.
Yes, but I thought it only went up like 14,000.
Might have just been the number we budgeted before we got a number.
Okay. So it's the good news is right is that it's being ordered. It's going to be a year before we get it, but at least it's not 2 or 3 years out because we're just doing it.
And now is the price locked in?
Yes. Yeah. The price. That's why I had to get back to them. That day and say, listen, keep it going. I'm going to let the board know, but I don't want to wait 2-3 years to get this.
So they're not going to surprise us again, though? That that's guaranteed.
No. We, just so you know, we put in the capital plan boxes for the towns. And last year, the boxes were like 12,000 apiece. So now, right, because we waited, metal dropped down. So now I introduced it to Tim again. I'm like, we need boxes. So we backed off a few other things, and we put 15 40-yard boxes into it. Well, we saved $25,000 on it because metal's now down. So had we ordered it last December, we would have paid $25,000 now. If we would have ordered the loader that we're about to receive after January, the solid tires would have cost us about $50,000 more, but they held because of the state bid.
Right.
So that was locked in. So we're saving money by holding this stuff or waiting to order on certain things, and like this right here, we're going to save about $15,000 on this, just ordering ourselves this $40,000 worth of parts for the grinder.
So, and do we need a resolution on that we put, or is this just continuing on the old resolution?
No, it's an old resolution.
Yeah. Yeah. So the price has changed, but that doesn't,
that doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter.
Okay, I have one other topic I would like to deal with. I'm sorry that Tom had to leave, but because he had brought up the topic of landfill, and I wonder if Larry would address the likelihood of actually...
We're out of executive session.
Oh, you're right.
I wouldn't discuss any of that.
Okay.
Hold that for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Anybody have a motion to close?
Adjourn?
Adjourn?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a popular motion. All right.
All in favor?
Second.
Everybody's in favor.
So we'll have the resolution for the grinder. We'll just put a number 140 on that, just so you folks know. I mean, it's imperative to our...
Meanwhile, do what you got to do. You know.
It's imperative to our compost operation.
Sure.
No, we understand.
Someone to adjourn?
We're adjourned.
You want to adjourn, Charlie? You good with that?
Yeah, you got
okay. Great. I already wrote you down as a yes.
And the roll-off, we're just going to keep moving on.